We thought we'd do it a little different this week without the piano. And actually, it might be nice next year, Jackie, if we just kind of set it up in a round when we have a smaller group like this. You kind of get swallowed up in this big room. Be nice to look right at each other. So there you go. Set up for next year. Today in the Christian church, as Sherry mentioned, you might not notice, by the way, we have a shorter podium and a taller podium. And we realize that the shorter ones at camp with Tom, Ken, Brendan, Jared, those are some of the teachers. So the taller one's here for me, so I can just lean on it like this and look at you. You probably never noticed we switched them when there's a shorter teacher. So I may come out in front of it a little bit more because of my height. But anyway, today in the Christian church, as Sherry mentioned, it's Easter Sunday. And, the Christian church, for the most part, celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this day. And I was thinking back to when I was a little girl. My grandmother would come over the night before, and we would get these lovely hairstyles, my sister and I. We'd get perms for the next day where the hair would be all, or we would get pin curls. Do any of you guys know what those are? You twirl it and stick a bobby pin in and leave them in overnight, and the same effect would be there, this ugly hair in the morning. But we thought we were beautiful little girls. We would get new dresses and new shoes and little purses, and we would go to church. That's what Easter represented to me. Then after church, we'd have, ham dinner with the whole family and stuff. And I do remember, as I got a little bit older in grade school, going to the church on the Friday before Easter. And the church I went to had a cross on the outside that they would cover with a black cloth on Good Friday. And they would talk about, they'd have a short Good Friday service talking about our sins and how Christ had to die for our sins. And I would feel really bad as a child that I made some man have to die. And then I remember Easter Sunday in the church, there would be lilies lining the walkways and there'd be trumpets in the church and great rejoicing at the resurrection of Christ. And so I was taught about Christ as a child, but I never really put the connection there. I didn't understand what it had to do with me, really. You know, Jesus died for me were just words. I didn't understand the significance of what his death, what his living, his death, his obedience to God in dying for me, what his resurrection signified. And unfortunately, I'm not alone in that. Even as I got older, as an adult in the church, I didn't understand that until someone shared some more of God's word with me. I didn't understand what it really had to do with my life. Years ago when I was, not that many years ago, I don't know how many, time flies. Anyway, 5-7 years ago, I was invited to teach at a Methodist Women's Weekend out on the West Coast. And I taught on God's plan of redemption. And there were 7 different teachers. It was over a period of a weekend. And at the end of the weekend, 2 different older women came up to me. One was definitely around 80, maybe older. It's hard to gauge. The other one had just retired from the post office, so she was at least 65, if not older. And they had been reading their Bible since they were very young. Wonderful Christian women who loved God. And at 2 different times, they came up to me crying because they had never understood why he had to die and what it meant to them. And these are faithful people who read the Bible for a long time, went to church faithfully for years upon years, and they didn't understand the significance of his death and resurrection. Many times Christians are more concerned about their own works rather than the work of Christ and what that means to them. And, there's more to the story, than just a man died for you. And that's it. When I was around 16, someone shared a verse from God's word. You can turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Romans. Chapter 10. Probably many of you know where I'm going. Because I honestly had no clue as to what his death and resurrection had to do with me. I didn't understand how his dying could change things in my life today. I just didn't understand the significance of Christ. And someone shared at a small little Bible fellowship. It was with a Young Life group. And this woman got up and shared some of her life and then went to the Word. And she shared these 2 verses of Scripture. In chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That connection of what his death meant and resurrection to me, that I could now believe that he was my Lord, that it had an effect on my life, changed me. You know, and if you know much of the scriptures at all in the book of Romans, it says I became, you know, a totally different person at that point in time. That I am now a new creation in Christ. Once a man believes on Christ, he's a new person. He might look the same on the outside, but there's something new on the inside. Because fortunately, one of the things Jesus Christ got to do once he was raised from the dead and ascended up into heaven is he got the joy of giving Holy Spirit to man on the day of Pentecost and thereafter when a man believes on Christ. You know, but even though I believed that when I was around 16, I didn't understand still what I had as a Christian. You know, I was new on the inside, but I didn't understand what it meant to me in the living of it. You know, many do not understand God's plan of redemption. They don't understand the state man was in the book of Genesis, why he needed a Savior. They don't understand why Jesus Christ had to come, what his work on earth really accomplished, what the significance is in him being raised from the dead, what power was given to man as a result of that. And without an understanding of what he did and what was accomplished in him, they don't live and act much differently than the other person, except for maybe their works, you know, their good works. Maybe they know now as a Christian they should be nicer, or they should be, you know, more forgiving, or they should, you know, there's a list of rules and regulations you could come up with. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to forgive or it's a bad thing to give. But if they're not based upon a recognition of what God has done in Christ and in response to what he's done, it's just a work of man, you know. And today I wanted to look at with you in God's Word a little bit about the importance of Christ, not just when we first hear about him, but in our life. That how we live our lives is to be based upon this, based upon Christ. Like I mentioned before, in Genesis 3:15 is where God first gives the promise to fallen man of a Redeemer, that he would send Christ. The Old Testament, and really the entire Word of God, the subject of the Word of God. If you're reading a book, and the subject is this crime that's happened, and there's this individual Joe, we'll say, that's the main character of the book. You follow him throughout the book to find out what Joe does to get whatever. There's a plot involved. The Bible, really, the subject of the Bible from Genesis 3:15 on is Christ. And if you keep that in mind as you're reading God's Word, it helps you understand God's Word a lot more. And that might seem confusing to many when they look at the Old Testament. I don't see Jesus Christ's name in there. But pretty much from Genesis 3:15 on is the working, that God working to bring about the promised Messiah. And the Old Testament contains the law, which pointed to Christ. It contains prophecies, which point to Christ and about Christ. I was reading a couple different experts on the Bible, and you know, one expert said there's 40 prophecies about Jesus Christ. One expert said 60. One expert said 300. Another one said 400. I haven't counted them, and I don't know if I would find them all anyways. There's a lot of references to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, though. A lot of the sacrifices were pointing to Christ. They were a symbol of what was to come in the promised Messiah. The Passover, which is celebrated in the Old Testament, in the New Testament says Christ is our Passover. So even though it might not appear when you're reading about Moses that it has anything to do with Christ, as we get to the New Testament, many times there's records that point back to those things that talk about this is being fulfilled. This was an indicator of what was to come in Christ. Then in the New Testament, we have the subject of Christ himself being on earth, you know. The life of Christ while he was on earth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. You know, what he did when he was on earth, what he taught when he was on earth. We also have the significance of Christ to the individual who believes on him and confesses him as Lord, and the significance of Christ to us as a group who have believed on him. Last week, Tom taught a teaching called Nuts and Bolts, and pretty much it's on the one body. It's a great teaching on how this body is supposed to work and the grace-given ministries that each one of us have in this body to contribute, to function, how it works together. And, oh, by the way, that made me remember. I'll do it at the end. Never mind. Remind me to do it at the end, okay? It's your job, Lauren. Okay. Lauren, remind me. You don't know what it's about. So I'm not going to go into all those workings of it, but I want you to remember that the significance of Jesus Christ is still pertinent to us today. If I don't understand what I have been given through Christ as an individual, if we don't understand what we have as a church because of Christ, we're not going to walk with the power and the authority that we're supposed to walk with. Turn, if you would, please, to Psalm 1. You're going, Christ? Psalm 1, okay. One of the neat things about God, there's a lot of neat things about God, is he's in favor of freedom of will. Even in the Old Testament, he gave man a choice to respond to his goodness or not. In the garden, they did for a while, and then they decided they would come up with their own way of doing things, and it resulted in the fall of man. But Adam and Eve did have a choice. God never wanted robots. He could have made robots that would just do exactly what he said, but he wanted a relationship with man. He wanted man, by his freedom of will, to choose to worship him, to praise him, to glorify him. After the fall of man, when he sent Christ later on, it was to bring man back to that relationship with God. Man has always had the choice whether or not he was going to do what God wanted, to walk with his God. You know, even in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they had a choice to do the law or not do the law. Now, they would die many times if they didn't. But the blessing of man was still up to man to choose to do what God instructed. God worked with man in different ways and blessed him as best he could with what man would allow him to do. God is really in favor of freedom of will. It's a choice you and I make to submit to his will. Just like in the Old Testament. In Psalm 1 and verse 1 it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall not prosper. In the Old Testament, doing what God wanted, the man that was blessed who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, included believing on the promised Messiah, included believing on the Christ that was to come. It also included learning about the laws and the way God wanted them to conduct their life in this period of time. And if a man chose to submit to those things, it says he was blessed. And the same thing is true now that we're born again ones. God has things set up for our blessing. And if we choose to submit to those, we can be blessed as well. If we choose not to, you know. For example, God, you know, I taught on forgiveness and being forgiving one another at the women's weekend. And as I was looking at this body of Christ and what God did for us in Christ, it's still a choice I have. If Lauren does something to hurt me, it's still a choice I have whether or not to forgive. God doesn't make me this automatic forgiving robot. You know, and if I choose to submit to the way he set things up in the body, I'm blessed, she's blessed, the body can work the way it is. But when I choose to hold things against her, it hinders what God could do for us together. You know, that's where freedom of will comes into play. We have the choice to walk as he's instructed in his word or to not walk. In this day and time, God has set things up to where the individual is blessed when he believes on Christ. We'll look at that in a minute. But he's also set it up to where a body, and the way God works to bless us is within this body as well. Yeah, individually I can go to God and he answers prayers and he blesses my life. But the greatest blessing for us in this day and time is if we submit to what he set up in the body of Christ. Turn to John chapter 14, please. I'm totally off page, as my husband would say, not going exactly where I'd planned. You know, so we have man in the Old Testament who could choose to adhere to what God instructed, could choose to walk with his God, and the way he had to do that was by obeying the law and doing the law and doing the different sacrifices and all the different things. Then we have the man when Christ comes, and he has freedom of will to choose to obey God and submit to his Christ and what he's made him to be. Jesus Christ in 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But man still has a choice to do that. You know, people don't have to believe on Jesus Christ. They don't have to believe in that he died for them and that God raised him from the dead. They don't have to believe and make him Lord in their life. You know, confess him as Lord in their life. I guess we don't make him. He's already Lord, but acknowledge that he is Lord. That's choice man has. You know, I was thinking, I clicked on my computer to check my email after the women's weekend, and there's, what's the prince's name, the guy that's getting married? William and his fiance, Kate. And whether I want to or not, William and Kate are there almost every day with some new thing and some little blurb. I haven't read it all about, I haven't watched the movie about them. I haven't read, you know, it's not really that interesting to me. But even just in the headlines throughout the past weeks, it's been, you know, they won't kiss in the chapel because it's not allowed. They won't, you know, Kate has to change her hairstyle because that's not acceptable as a prince. She's having to learn how to dress, you know, according to royalty. And there's a lot of things that she has to learn to be in the position she's going to be in as a princess and to be married to in the royalty, to be in the family, you know, the royal family there. And just from the little bit I've seen with the headlines, there's a lot she has to learn and change. So she's probably having quite a bit of instruction on how to live and conduct herself as this royal princess. You know, unfortunately, many people believe on Christ and don't even take the time of day to find out what that means. We're God's holy sons, and he's given us instruction in his word, what it means to be a son, how we are to live as sons, how we are to live together as sons. And yet many times man just gets born again and decides what God wants him to do and starts conducting his life differently based upon what he thinks, as if we could figure out how to do this thing right, you know. Man, God's given us his word so we could know how to walk and live as sons of God in this world. He's given it to us. He's made it so readily available. And if I want to know how to conduct myself as royalty, as God's royal son, I got to go to what he says. And that's where the New Testament comes into play, where those church epistles that are addressed to us, the born-again ones, teach us how to walk as a son. Oh, no, 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 don't do that. Remember, do this. Don't hold on to grudges. Forgive, you know. Walk in love. It teaches us who we have, but also shows us the power that we have to be able to do it. Because in Christ, we have been made free from sin, and we are now able to walk and live in a whole new way. Before that, we couldn't. I couldn't love and forgive as Christ did until I had the Spirit of God. And I don't always do it now that I have it, but I have a choice now. I have a choice. Before, I didn't have a choice to live that way. Turn to, we're in John 14, verse 12. How else do you do these verses? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How am I, as this frail human being who recognized the need, a broken man, I recognize my need for a Christ, for a Lord, and I said, okay, I believe that you raised him from the dead. I acknowledge that he's Lord now. How am I going to do that? How am I going to do the works that he did and greater works without understanding what I have? You know, if you have $1 million in the bank and don't know it, you're not going to spend it. You're going to live like you don't have $1 million. Well, as God's children, we have resurrection power living in our soul, but if we don't know about it, we're not going to live any differently. You know, that's why God's given us His Word. Turn, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 6. But you know, whether man ever goes to God's Word and learns what he now has as a Christian, does it change who he is? No, he's still God's son. He's still a righteous one. He still has the power within. He just doesn't know about it. He just doesn't know about it. You know, it's a choice he has. Just like the man in the Old Testament had a choice to learn the law and live that way, to learn who his God was and what he wanted and to do what he wanted. You and I have a choice to learn what God wants, what he's made us to be, and to live our lives in alignment with what he says. And if we do that, that's where our blessings lie, you know. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You know, when I, as a child, heard about the death of Jesus Christ, I had no idea it had anything to do with me, really, except for he died for my sins. But what did that mean to me? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a choice man has. Once he is born again of God's Spirit, once he's believed on this risen Christ, he can choose to reckon that I am a new creation. I am what God says I am. Or he can choose not to. That's a choice. God's in favor of freedom of will. We can choose to submit to these almighty words that are in this written word and live a life that is full of victory and power or not. It's up to us. You know, so we have the choice as individuals to believe what he's made us to be in Christ. We also have a choice as to believe what he's made us to be together in Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We learned some about this at the women's weekend. Some of us did. I know also they got into some of this. So I'm not going to reteach everything. I know Tom covered some great things about the one body as well. But God has set this up for our blessing, for our edification. It's the way he's working today. But if I choose to work outside of that, I may not see the great blessings that God would have in store. Does it mean God can't bless my life? No, I'm not saying that. But the fullness of what he wants to do in this day and time can only be seen as we as a group or another group committing to some church somewhere. We as a group decide we're broken people. We're saved by grace. We aren't that good except for we're righteous because God's made us that way. I see the frailty in your life. You see it in mine. We choose to love and forgive one another and believe that we are the righteousness of God, each of us, and then to collectively we can walk with the power and the authority that's ours as a church and touch the world with Christ because all of us are working together. You know, so where I fall short, Lauren's right there to cover in reaching out to someone. You know, what a tremendous thing God has set up. But when I choose to hold on to grudges or when I choose to think, you know, it's just Ashton. You know, that silly guy. Instead of remembering this is my brother, Jesus Christ died for him. The power of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in this soul. And I'm sick and this man can minister to me and bring healing to my life. I see him as God's made him to be. And then I trust that God's going to work to take care of my life and each other. wow, what a difference. If we choose to hold on up here, what God has made us to be in Christ, and we choose to love and care for one another, remembering what we are in Christ. Whoa, what could God do? I mean, we're just scratching the surface of what God could do, you know? You know, as I was working the stuff on forgiveness, my heart just hurt to think that I could allow something in my heart to hinder what God wants to do in the body by holding on to that. That I've just forgotten, like we learned about, if I'm having a hard time forgiving someone, maybe I'm not really looking at the grace of God in Christ. Maybe I've forgotten that broken Savior that died for me. And He forgave me for everything, you know. Wow, what a freeing thing that I can choose to look at that and so forgive my brother or sister. And honestly, that I can ask you to forgive me, not because of my merit, but because of Christ. Because until the Lord returns, we're all going to fall short. But man, when we choose to love and care for one another as God has set up, when we choose, and it is a choice, to believe in this holy thing that's called the body of Christ, and we choose to live our lives in submission to what He set up. Boy, what freedom there is, what power there is in the world. Where are we? Where did I tell you to go? Romans 12. Let's start down in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And it goes on from there. Go down to verse 11. No, that's not where I wanted to go. Give me one second here. Oh, I know I wanted to be in 1 Corinthians. That's why it would have 11 there. But anyway, but 4 through 6, it talks about the one body that we are now in Christ and that we're members one of another, you know. If I choose to not be loving to you, what is that accomplishing? If we're members one of another, you know, if I choose to not forgive you, I'm only hurting myself according to the word of God, because we're part of one another now, you know. But if I see you as just some individual and me as some individual, it doesn't matter then, you know. But in reality, it does, you know. We're members one of another. God has placed us in the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks more about it. If you'll turn there, please. In verse 18 it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. You think you're not important? You can choose to think differently. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You know, that's a choice we have, to believe what God has made us to be together. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Because what God wrought in Christ wasn't just for the individual. It was for fallen man to be redeemed. But God had something far greater in store than just bringing man back to a place where he could be in front of a living God. He had something greater in store in this plan of redemption. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, in verse 6, it says, I'm going to read this in the NIV. It's a little clearer. This mystery is that through the gospel of the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And down in verse 10, his intent that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So not only was this Messiah sent to redeem man from his fallen state, but to bring us into something totally brand new. And that's part of the plan. Another version calls it the purpose of the ages. Most of you are familiar with that. This was part of God's plan to have a holy church, not just a holy individual, a holy church where he could work, where Christ was the head of the body. You know, it's really all wrapped up in Christ, you know, from the beginning of the fall of man on. Go back in Ephesians, or continue in Ephesians, down in verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, and this isn't just the individual you, it's all of us, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know, there's a parenthesis in there that describes that power. The power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us and in it and in us individually and as a church. You know, that's how come there can be greater works in the world. But how limited are we if we don't adhere to what God has set up in the one body, you know? And how freeing it is to recognize it doesn't all rest on my shoulders, you know, that God has placed me in a body. Christ is the head of it. And as we look to him, we look to God, we submit to our head and walk with the power and authority that's ours. Wow, what power can be unleashed in the world? How the body can be edified and blessed, you know. Since the fall of man, God had a plan to redeem man through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament believer was blessed and when he believed on the coming one. It even says in the Old Testament that the Old Testament person, the children of Israel, when they looked and believed that God was going to send a Messiah, that just looking at that and believing that, he was healed physically. I mean, I think this is so much bigger than we can even comprehend. Well, I know it is. The Word talks about it being beyond our comprehension. But, you know, his blessings were contingent upon looking at the coming one, upon obeying God's laws, adhering to what God wanted. As he chose to do that, he was blessed. He was like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, Psalm says. The blessings of the born again one, the one who has believed in Christ, is to continue to believe on Christ. That's where our blessing, you know, to continue to believe what his sacrifice accomplished, what he now is, what we now are in Christ. You know, a new creation, one who is able to live and walk with power, to walk in a whole new way. But the blessing of the saved one is also contingent upon believing what God has set up together and to submit to what he set up together. To so choose to look at one another and see each other as God has made us to be. Frail, broken people who were saved by grace, who now are righteous and can stand before the presence of an almighty God, you know. In this body of Christ, that's where our blessings lie. You know, there's so much God wants to do, but it is contingent upon man's freedom of will. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and we'll close there. You know, last week, like I said, Tom taught on the nuts and bolts and how this one body is to work. But that is contingent upon freedom of will. if I don't choose to believe that I have a God-given ministry, that you have a God-given ministry, if I don't choose to submit to what God's working, I don't think the one body can work. It is still up to freedom of will. You know. Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, the Word of God says that we are if we've believed on Christ. We didn't just die with him. He didn't just die for my sins. We got up with him. It says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in italics, which means it was added for understanding. I think it reads better without it. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You know. Christ, our life. That's where the blessings are wrapped up in. Christ, our life. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done in Christ. And may we as your children submit to what you've written in your word. May we believe in this risen Christ, not just for the moment, but believe what you've now set up because of him. Father, thank you for the joy we have of being able to come before your very face, knowing that you see us as righteous, holy ones. Help us, Father, to see each other as righteous, holy ones and to believe in what you've set up in this body of Christ, that we may walk out into the world and touch others by Christ. Thank you for the joy we have to know you as our Father, as we heard in manifestations, to be aware of your awesome care for our lives and your provision, not just for today, but for all eternity. That it's not based upon how we live our lives, but it's based upon Christ. And may we continue to grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to grow in the grace that's ours because of him and to acknowledge what you've wrought through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you and praise you and give you the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Before Sherry goes up, I have an announcement. That's what you're going to remind me of. I was going to start out. I have it written at the top of my notes too. I was going to mention the teaching last week where Tom talked about the one body and the nuts and bolts. And I wanted to remind you that if you're interested in being a part of our outreach house next year, this we'll probably announce it this week, next week, and that'll probably be about it. You'll want to talk to me afterwards. And I guess the one body is what made me think of it in watching these young men and women, especially this year. Well, every year, but to commit a year of your life to live with people that are committed to the same thing, that want to pray together, that want to go to God's word together, that want to speak about Christ in the community, to run fellowships together, to worship God together, to choose to put yourself in that kind of a situation with other people. Growth happens because you're committing to something that's pretty cool, but it's also some things in God's word that help you grow. And to watch these young men and women learn what it means to be a body, to love one another, to forgive one another, maybe once or twice this year, you probably had to do that, to choose to submit to what God's word says day to day in those houses is a great way to grow. And if you're interested in something like that, talk to me afterwards. That was my other announcement. So we're going to close with some song Sherry's got planned.
We are. How about Joyfully Sing 51? In the body of Christ. Yep. That's where we are, thankful, and it's God's will. We belong right here. We
have home in heaven above, seated in the heavenlies of Christ the Lord. Here in the world we walk in love, standing with the saints of God in one accord. Amazing.
Thank you. What a great sound and wonderful morning. God bless you in all ways and a great week.